One time, a lawyer walked up to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament? What's the greatest commandment?" And you know what Jesus said to him? "The first commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." And then he said, "The second is like unto it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Okay, so he says, here's the greatest commandment. Here's the most important commandment in the Bible: love God. Love God with every fiber of your being. Love Him. It's the greatest commandment. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And guys, God is worthy of your love. God is worthy of your love. But I'm here to warn you today that there is something that you are going to face in your lives repeatedly that will try to steal your love for God. It's going to try to steal your love for God. And that is the temptation to love the world and the things in the world more than God. Let's read together 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Apostle John, he says this, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Abideth forever. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, we thank you once more for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of the Bible and how you have revealed to us yourself, who you are, and that also you have revealed to us how we fit into your great plan for the world. And Lord, how you have told us how we can please you, Lord, how we can obey you, how we can walk in the way of life. Lord, I pray that each young person in here today, that you would help them to understand the scriptures today. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach, that you would use me simply as an instrument of yours, and that your word would be what goes forth with power today. We love you so much, God. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So the Apostle John here, he gives this warning to his readers, to us, to you and me. He says, don't love the world. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. So what do you think it means to love something? I want you guys to think about that question for a second. What do you think it means to love something? All right, now I want to get some of your thoughts. What do you think? What do you guys think? What does it mean to love someone? Raise your hand and you can tell me. What do you think? Go ahead. Okay, have a deep feeling for something, all right? What do you think it means to love something?
To not only have a great feeling for that thing or someone, but to also just put your heart into that thing and sort of kind of like spend time.
Okay. Maybe you'll spend time with it. You even think about it a lot, right?
Yeah. You always put it ahead of yourself.
Ah, interesting. You make it more important than yourself, right? That's good. That's good. Any other ideas? What does it mean to love something or someone?
Show affection.
Show affection. All right, you got the right idea. I want to show you guys a picture. All right. So this is a picture of me and my wife. So my wife, her name is Katie. We've been married for 9 years now. We have two kids. Our son is 3 years old, and he's actually going to be turning 4 in September. And then we have a little daughter. Her name is Evelyn. But this is my wife, Katie. And listen, there is no one in the world that I love more than my wife, Katie. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? You can say yes. Yeah. She is gorgeous, okay? That is my wife, Katie. Well, how do I know that I love my wife, Katie? Well, I could tell you, okay? You know what? I think about her all the time. I think about her all the time. You know, when I'm doing something and I'm like, usually when I'm doing something else and I'm not close to Katie or I'm not next to her or whatever, I'm thinking about the next time that I'm going to be back with her again. Like, you know, I just love her so much. I want to be with her. And so when I'm away from her, I think about her and I think about when I will get to be with her again. When you love something, you spend as much time with it as you can. So guess what? As much spare time that I can spare, who do you think I'm going to spend it with? I'm going to spend it with my wife because I love her, right? I love her. You know, when you love something, you know what else? You enjoy it. You enjoy it. You know what? I enjoy being, when I'm with my wife, like that's my happy place, right? That's my happy place. That is my happy place. So when you love something, you enjoy it. You know what else? I'm going to spend money on her, right? I'm going to spend money on her because I think that she's important enough that I would spend more money on her than I would just about anything else. So I love to get her presents. I love to buy her things that she wants and that she needs or she likes, that she enjoys. I love to make her happy. And she, you know what? She just consumes my thoughts. She is important to me. She is important to me. And in some ways, I feel like I can't really live without her. When you feel those kinds of ways, when you think those kinds of thoughts, when something, someone consumes your thoughts in that way, you know that you love that thing or that person, right? You know that you love that thing or that person. So here, John is he's asking us, okay, do not love the world. Do not love the world. And you need to ask yourself this question. What is it that I do love? What consumes my thoughts? What do I spend my time thinking about when I'm doing something that maybe is not as fun? What's the thing that's in my mind that I can't wait to do, right? Or what's the person that's in my mind that I can't wait to go see or talk to? Or, you know, and these are good questions to help you think, what do I love? What do I love? And again, we have this warning here from the Apostle John, do not love the world. So we ask another question now, okay? What does it mean? What does it mean when John is saying the world, okay? Do you think he's talking about the earth, like the mountains, the trees, the oceans? Do you think he's talking about that? Nope, he's not talking about that at all. In fact, when he created all of this, what did he say when he created it? It is good. He said, it is good. So he's not talking about, okay, guys, you cannot love this planet, okay? Don't love the planet. That's not what he's saying. Do you think he's talking about all the people in the world? No, he's most certainly not talking about all the people in the world, right? In fact, John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved the world. So obviously, John can't, and in that sense of the world, he's talking about God loved all the people in the world, right? So John obviously can't be saying, hey, don't love the people in the world, okay? That's not what he's saying, right? So what is he saying? What is he saying? Okay, that's very wise. Okay, I think that's very insightful. Don't love the ways of worldly people. When he's talking about the world right here, he's talking about, he's not talking about the world that we can see with our eyes, the mountains, the trees, the oceans, that sort of thing. He's not talking about the people. He's actually talking about everything and everyone in the world that is against God. Everything and everyone in the world that is anti-God. That's what he's talking about right here. What are you going to say?
And in other places in the Bible, he says love and your neighbors, even those who persecute you and accuse you and mm-hmm. wrong things to you. But here he's saying don't love them, so which one?
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you asked that. I'm really glad you asked that. Jesus actually says you need to love your enemies, right? So when he says do not love the world, it's this idea of do not love the ways of wicked people. Right? Do not love the ways of wicked people. When you love something, or when you love someone, you put it on a pedestal and you make it important and you make it valuable to you, right? And so what John is saying is here, people who are against God, do not put their ways. Do not make their ways important and valuable to you. Do not make their ways what you are going to emulate, what you are going to pursue, what you are going to chase after, what you are going to spend your time thinking about. Do not make their ways important to you. Do not love their ways. Does that make sense? Does that help answer that question? I'm really glad you asked that. So again, he is asking us, do not love the world. So can you guys think of any examples of worldly things that we ought not to love as Christians, as believers? What do you think?
Practical atheism.
Practical atheism. Very good. What do you think? Forgot what you said. That's okay. What's that again? Okay, inanimate objects. Maybe if you make that the center of your affection, yeah, you know what? Inanimate objects.
The latest things that will soon fade away.
Okay, that's very insightful as well. Good.
Jealousy.
That's a way of the world, isn't it? Good, good, good. What are some other things, other examples of worldly things? Go ahead. Okay, making fun of people. You know what? The idea of elevating ourselves by trying to put other people down, right? Trying to elevate ourselves in pride by putting other people down. That is a way of the world, isn't it?
Comparing yourself to
people. Okay, comparing yourself to people. Very good, very good. Now let me ask you another question. So these are some examples of things that are the ways of the world, ways that are against God himself, against what he has told us is good and right and the way of life, right? The way of the world is against God. What are some examples of places where you hear a lot about the ways of the world? School. School can be a really good example, right? Sometimes you hear it from your teachers. I think of a really big example of a teacher who might teach the theory of evolution, right? That everything, all of creation came from nothing, right? This is an idea, this is a philosophy, a teaching that is against God, trying to think of the world in a way that can exist without God. Good. That's a great example. School. What are some other examples of places we can get the ideas of the world from?
Social media.
Social media. Very good. How about you?
Sports
even. Okay. That's interesting.
TV
is a big one, right? TV shows. And listen, this is really important, right? There are even kids shows that will teach you the way of the world. I'll give you an example. I used to watch a show called Fairly Odd Parents. Any of you guys know that show? A couple of you guys know that show, Fairly Odd Parents. If you guys know that show, my parents saw it, watched it with me one time, and they were like, you should probably not watch this show. You know why? How are the parents depicted in that show, for those of you who know it?
Dumb,
right? They're depicted as idiots that the kid should not listen to, right? Like, it would be silly to listen to their parents, right? What does the Bible say about how children should react, how children should behave before their parents? Respect them and honor them, right? Right? The fifth commandment says, honor your mother and father, right? Honor your mother and father, right? And here's this TV show, and by the way, this is very common among kids' TV shows. They depict parents as dumb. You shouldn't listen to them. You shouldn't do what they say, right? Or they glorify disobeying their parents, right? They disobey their parents, and everything works out in the end, right? Really happy, and they even get rewarded or praised for it, right? Guys, this is an idea, a way of the world, and we cannot love the way of the world. So we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful. Some of these things, they portray themselves as things that are really innocent, that aren't really going to harm us or hurt us or change the way that we think from the way that we should think, but we have to be on guard constantly to watch out that we not love the way of the world. We have to be careful with these things because the temptation to love the world, it's really going to come at you from all over the place, right? All over the place. It's going to come from the TV. It'll even come from bad friends that you have. And you're going to want to fit in with the world. That's going to be a temptation that you'll face. You are going to want to fit in with the world. But listen, the world is against God. And the Apostle John here is saying, listen, do not love the world. God is calling you to come out of the world. God is calling you to be separate from the world, to be different from the world, so that you can attract people to the glory of God himself. Well, the Bible says here again, do not love the world, but it also says, neither the things in the world, neither the things that are in the world. So when we talk about the things that are in the world, verse 16 actually tells us what that looks like. Let's read it real quick. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Okay, so what are these things? So these are selfish desires that benefit me above everything else. And sometimes it can be money. Sometimes it can be things that money can get me. Sometimes it's popularity or fame. And so this idea that I will do whatever it takes to be popular, even if it means doing what I know is wrong, even if it means doing what I know I should not do. Guys, if you want to know whether or not you love the world or the things that are in the world, ask yourself this question. Are you willing to do wrong to get what you want? Then that thing that you want, guess what? It's one of those things that are in the world, right? Are you willing to do wrong to get what you want? You know what else the Apostle John tells us? First of all, he gives us this warning, do not love the world. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he tells us why this is so important. He says, we cannot love the world and love God at the same time, right? We cannot love the world and love God at the same time. Verse 17, or I should say, at the end of verse 15, it says this, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. I want to show you another picture. You remember I told you that here's my wife. I love her more than anything in the world. But here is also my dog. Her name is Lily. She's about 8 years old. She's the sweetest puppy in the world. I love her to death. All right? So here's Lily. Isn't she pretty? She's a golden lab, and she's a chocolate lab mix, kind of a mutt, but she is, again, just the sweetest pup you'll ever know. What if I started loving my dog Lily more than my wife?
Uh-oh.
That's a big uh-oh, right? That's a big uh-oh. So I come home from work, you know. I come home from work. Oh, hi, Nini. Hi, Nini. Oh, you want to go play outside with the ball? Okay, let's go. I throw the ball. And meanwhile, I'm just like ignoring Katie, my wife, over here. How do you think my wife would feel right there? I would be sleeping in the doghouse. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So I say that, and it's like, what if I love Lily more than my wife? And that's kind of silly, right? It's kind of ludicrous to think that I would love a dog more than my wife. But why is that so silly? Why would it be so silly if I loved my dog more than I loved my wife?
Because a dog is a dog.
Yeah, a dog is a dog. Okay, who's more important? My wife. Exactly, okay? Not only because she is a human being, right? But on top of that, she is my wife. She's my wife. I have made promises to her that I will love her more than anything else in the world, right? I have made these promises to her. And you know what? So to love my dog more than my wife would be absolutely silly because my dog is not worthy of that love. Who deserves that love? My wife. Right? My wife deserves that love. So here's the thing. If I start loving my dog Lily more than my wife, am I actually loving my wife at all?
No.
Do you think she would feel loved at all? What if I was like, oh, hi, Lily. I wanted to spend all my time with Lily. I take her for walks, and I just kind of ignore her. But I pull up my wallet and be like, here's some money, honey. Why don't you go shopping or do something? Oh, hi, Lily. And aren't I showing Katie some love by giving her some money or something?
No.
Do you think she'll feel loved by that?
No.
No. It's actually insulting to her, isn't it? Right? Do you know it's the same way with God? Who deserves all the love in the world? God, right? God deserves to be loved more than anything ever. And so when we start loving other things, things in the world, the ideas of the world, more than God, we're not even loving him at all, right? We're not loving him at all. And so John is saying here, like, listen, if you love the world and if you love the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You do not love the Father. You do not love God. And so this is so important, guys. You do not want to be robbed of your love for God, because here's the thing. It's never worth it. It's never worth it. All right. I need somebody. How many of you guys brought money with you to camp? How many of you guys brought, you guys have it with you, like here with you today? Raise your hand if you have it here with you today. All right. I want to make you a trade. I want to offer you a trade, okay? I have my wallet here in my back pocket, and I am willing to trade you everything in my wallet for everything in all the money in your wallet, okay? And let me tell you, it will be worth it. I promise it will be worth it, okay? All right. Who would be willing to do that? Who'd be willing to do that? I can't tell you right up front, but I will tell you this. It's going to be worth it. Do you want to do it? You want to do it? You want to do it? Okay, come on up here. Come on up here. All right, all the money that you have with you for everything in my wallet, it is going to be worth it. Okay, you have it? Okay, there's a good bit of money in here. There's even some paper in here, guys. I like that. So let's count this out. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, I think this is gonna be worth it for you. I think this is really gonna be worth it for you. There's a bunch of change in here too. Okay. I'm not gonna take the time to count this out, but this looks like at least $5 right here in coins, okay? At least $5 in coins. So we're looking at like $11, okay? Ah, let's not lose that. $11. I think this is really going to be worth it for you. You are going to be pretty thrilled. Okay, so here's what I got in my wallet. All right, you ready for this? You ready for this?
What was it?
It is a candy wrapper. Aren't you so glad you made this trade? Okay. Okay. There's not even any candy in there, right? Okay. So be honest with me. How disappointed are you right now?
Quite a bit. I don't even eat candy at all.
Pretty disappointed, right? Pretty. Okay. I'm not actually going to take your money, okay? So I want you to take this back. In fact, see me afterwards and you'll get a free snow cone. Oh, thanks. All right. So think about that. I mean, okay. So here's this. What were the promises that I was making to her, especially? Well, what did I promise?
You said it would be worth it.
I promised her it would be worth it, right? I promised her it would be worth it. Was it worth it?
No,
it was not worth it. Okay, it was not worth it. Okay, listen. The world is going to make promises to you that if you love the world and if you love the things in the world, it's going to be worth it. But listen, in the end, the world passes away, and everything in it. Read verse 17 with me. It says this, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So that first part, "And the world passeth away, and the lust," or the desires of the world. Listen, again, the world is going to make promises to you. They're going to say, listen, chase popularity, chase fame, chase money, chase power, chase all of these things, chase video games, make that the center of your life, chase friends and friendship, and look at, chase your reputation and being good, looking good in front of everybody, chase these things, and listen, it'll be worth it, it'll make you happy, you'll be satisfied, but in the end, you're going to be more let down, you're going to be more disappointed than she was by the trade that we made. You're going to be more let down, more disappointed by that trade. Because listen, the trade-off is this. You give up your eternal soul. You give up your eternal soul for something that is temporary, something that passes away, something that fades away. You have something that God has given to you, your eternal soul, that is more valuable than anything you possess, okay? That is your soul. And if you spend the love of your soul on the world and the things of this world, the world's going to pass away, And when your soul continues on in eternity, you will only be disappointed by every moment, every love that you gave up to the world, because the world will have been gone. But listen, if you love God, if you love Him supremely, if you chase Him supremely, if you let your thoughts be consumed by Him and the things of God and the way of life as we read it in the Bible, you will be satisfied every time. Every single time. God never disappoints. He never disappoints. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you do. Psalm 37, 14 says this: if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will fulfill all the desires of your heart. He will fulfill all the desires of your heart. If you make God, hey guys, right here, can you pay attention? Thank you. If you make God your delight, if you make God what you enjoy most, He will always fulfill the desires of your heart. That's a promise from God. Are you going to believe Him? Are you going to believe Him? It will always be worth it if you do. The other option is to believe the lies of the world. And if you love the world and the things in the world, you will be disappointed. You will be disappointed. Because it passes away. Now, you're going to face this battle all over the place. Okay? You're going to face this battle all over the place. You're going to face it for the rest of your life. I hate to say it, but you are going to face this battle. So you might be wondering, okay, how do I do this? Because the things of the world, the world is screaming pretty loud, and it sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good to lie to get my way. It sounds pretty good to cheat to get money, or it sounds pretty good to cheat to get that grade that I want, that I know that I didn't study for or work for myself. It sounds pretty good to do those things. Like, I feel like that might satisfy me. How do you fight against that? How do you fight against that? Well, I need another volunteer. Who's a really good shot? Who's a really good shot? Right here. Come on up. What's your name?
Matthew.
Come on up, Matthew. All right. I brought with me my son's basketball hoop and his basketball here. By the way, my son, he's actually a really good shot. He, from the time that he was like one, his grandpa was teaching him how to like do the perfect basketball shot form and everything. He's a pretty amazing shot. So you got a lot to live up to, right? You think you can do it? All right, from right here, this line right here, let's see if you can do it. I want you to see it. All right, let's see if you can do it. All right, good job. Do it again, do it again, do it again. Ready? All right, everybody give him a good hand, round of applause, Matthew. All right, don't go down yet, don't go down yet. You're not done. Matthew, you're not done yet. Come on up, come on up. All right, now I want you to look at me. Stand right there again. I want you to look at me. Here you go. Now try to make it. What? Okay, can you do that again? Can you do that again? Let's see if you can do it again. Oh, one more time, one more time, one more time. Dude, you're amazing. Okay, now let me ask you this question. Which time was it easier to make the shot? It was actually easier the first time, wasn't it? Now he's a good enough shot that he made it even without looking. That's pretty amazing. All right, good job. Everybody give him another round of applause. That was mighty impressive. All right, so why do you think it was easier for Matthew to make that shot the first time than it was to make it the second time?
Because he was actually looking at the spot he was
going for. Exactly, he was looking at it. So what made the second time harder for him?
He had his back turned on the spot.
He wasn't looking at it. He wasn't looking at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, in other words, surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And listen to this right here. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews tells us. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, if you want to win the fight against loving the world, if you want to win against that temptation, you need to set your eyes on Jesus. Set your eyes on Christ and let your heart be captured by who Jesus is. Listen, That's why we spent so much time talking about God's mercy. The mercy of Jesus, the mercy that he showed towards Peter, even though Peter had betrayed him, denied him publicly. And then the next day we talked about how Jesus, how God and Jesus, in their love for us, died for wicked sinners. Wicked sinners, right? He didn't die for good people. He died for wicked sinners. If you think about who Jesus is, if you peer into the scriptures and you see the magnitude of his goodness, his love, his mercy, his grace, his justice, all of these things, his power, his omniscience, you see this, you see all these things about God, and you set your eyes on him, and listen, you'll be able to see, wait, it is way more worth it to follow and love Jesus. It's way more worth it to love Jesus than it is to love the things of this world, which pass away, which fade away into nothing. Jesus, will he ever fade away? Will his love ever fade away? Will his mercy ever fade away? Will his grace ever fade away? Will his justice ever fade away? Will his sovereignty, his goodness, his all of these things, is that ever going to fade away? No. And when we love God supremely above the things of this world, this is what we receive in return, is the unending love and grace and mercy and power and all of these things of God. They never end. So again, if you want to fight against loving the world, set your eyes on Jesus. Look to him. Look to him so that you can hit your target and love God supremely.